President Biden has met with a bipartisan group of senators in hopes of crafting legislation to support America's infrastructure. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's roads currently have a D-plus grade, according to an annual report card from the American Society of Civil Engineers. States around the country and the federal government are trying to figure out the roadmap for the future of transportation infrastructure and how we pay for it. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What would you like lawmakers to do to address infrastructure, especially when it comes to roads and transportation? How are the roads in your local community? Do you have big problems there? Do you have questions about infrastructure? Who pays for it at the state and federal level? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Nonprofit TRIP. Rocky, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, as I mentioned, this report from the Civil Engineers Group, they do all the infrastructure, keying in on roads here in Wisconsin, a D-plus grade. Now, when you see a grade like that for a particular state, what do you see contributing to possible problems with roads?
Well, that report really is consistent with the report that we put out 3 years ago in Wisconsin, which also found high levels of pavement deficiencies. And when you look at where that comes from, it obviously doesn't come overnight. It's really a combination of a lot of wear and tear on the system and a lack of long-term preservation. You have to make the initial repairs, but then as travel increases, if you can keep up with it, if you can keep the pavements in good condition, it's a lot more cost effective. But Wisconsin has fallen behind that.
Now, Wisconsin had its own story. I imagine a lot of states are, you know, have their own version of this. The funding mechanism for roads didn't keep up with the costs of roads. Indexing to inflation of gas taxes ended. Nothing was put in to fill that gap. There were years of budget debates over how to do that. The state in the last budget did boost some road funding. What does it take, though, to catch up when you're playing catch up like that?
It really takes all levels of government working together. You did mention the lack of the indexing of fuel fees in Wisconsin was very critical in keeping up with the losses due to inflation and also the growth in travel. Since indexing of the motor fuel tax was suspended in 2006, that's cost the state $2.3 billion. So obviously that's a huge hit. And as you mentioned, this last legislative session, a one-time additional piece of money was put into the system. But again, it takes long-term consistent funding. You mentioned the meeting of the Biden administration, a bipartisan meeting on Thursday with Senate leaders. They're looking at the federal surface transportation program, which provides over $800 million a year in Wisconsin for road and bridge repairs. And that program expires in September. And so part of the Biden administration's support for a long-term infrastructure package will be reauthorizing that long-term federal program. And that will take both the Senate and the House putting a bill together.
One long-term problem, Rocky, I've been hearing about for some years now is we pay for a lot of our transportation, roads and bridges in particular, through gas taxes. Well, cars are getting more fuel efficient. Some cars are partially electric. Some don't use gas at all. How big a part of the puzzle is that?
That issue is coming very quickly. And the other part of that, of course, is fuel efficiency. Today, the average vehicle on the road averages 24 miles a gallon. By 2030, that will be 31 miles per gallon. By 2040, 37 miles a gallon. And then in terms of electric vehicles, which now are around 2 or 3% of vehicle sales, by 2040, that's estimated to be 60%. So we're very quickly seeing a lack of long-term sustainability of the motor fuel fee. That doesn't mean that it still doesn't have value moving forward as a transitional source of funding. But the bottom line is that, as we point out in our report 3 years ago, when you don't make adequate investment, it costs you, our estimate was around $7 billion. And that was $3 billion to motorists driving on rough roads, which is beating up their vehicle, about $2 billion in congestion delays, lost time and wasted fuel, and about $2 billion in the economic cost of serious and fatal traffic crashes. So at the end of the day, the consumer is in a much better position making those investments. But if you don't make the investments, those costs of not having good roads is going to increase.
We're talking about Wisconsin's and the nation's transportation infrastructure, cars and roads and other forms of transit and how we pay for it all. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What are the roads like in your neck of the woods? Are they kept up the way you hope they would be? If you're a truck driver, what are you seeing as you drive through Wisconsin and beyond? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. All right, Rocky, 2009 was it. We had the big stimulus package. It included a lot of infrastructure stuff. Under the Trump administration, a lot of people said President Trump and Democrats in Congress won't get along on much, but they might be able to get together on infrastructure and transportation. That didn't really happen. Do you see prospects for some kind of bipartisan agreement that, yeah, this is a good place to spend some cash?
I think one of the things that I think is going to be very helpful in really getting Congress and the administration together on this was a report 2 years ago from the National Academy of Sciences through the Transportation Research Board. It was asked by Congress to look at the nation's interstate system, clearly the backbone of the nation's economy, and tell them straightforward, what do we need to do? And basically what that report showed, and it's true in Wisconsin as the rest of the country, is the system was aging and had increasing operational and physical deficiencies, and it was no secret why, increasing levels of travel and a lack of long-term preservation and repairs. And so really Congress now has an opportunity through putting forward a new infrastructure program and reauthorizing a surface transportation bill to really approach what was discussed in this report from the Transportation Research Board, which is the tremendous need to modernize our interstate highway system. And also what the report pointed out is that as that system gets 50, 60, and 70 years old, as much of our infrastructure is, routine repairs have reached a point of diminishing returns. So that simple resurfacing doesn't last as long as it once did because we're coming to the point where literally we have to reconstruct major components of that system, bridges, interchanges, and they estimated that would require an increased investment of about 2.5 times greater than we're spending now.
Now, I've been talking about transportation infrastructure and talking mostly about roads and cars and trucks. What other things, rail and other systems, do you have your eye on?
Well, certainly if you look at the surface transportation system, and we're really looking at, if you look at the impact of the pandemic's had obviously a tremendous impact on our transportation system. Wisconsin, back in the spring, vehicle travel was down 36%. By early this winter, it was down around 12%. So travel's come about two-thirds of the way back. We're obviously not through the pandemic yet, but people are looking ahead to what those transportation needs will be beyond that. And I think a lot of that is to be seen in terms of a variety of patterns from employment to residential impacts. But I think it's clear that Americans are very mobile. We're going to continue to want and need that mobility. But really, the challenge is going to be funding this need to modernize the system moving into this post-pandemic era.
We're talking about transportation infrastructure and how we pay for it with Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Nonprofit, TRIP. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you like to see more money go into highway development and maintenance? Or how about your local roads? Do you feel like the state and your local government are able to keep up with keeping up your local roads and infrastructure? Do you want to see the federal government tackle a big infrastructure package, a lot of money that would include some form of transportation? Are there alternative transportation methods you want looked into more, funded better, whether it's rail or buses, or you fill in the blank there? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at TRIP, a national transportation research nonprofit. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want more money to go into roads? If so, what kind of roads? How are things near you? Do you want to see alternatives? 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a very controversial opinion, but I'm going to throw it out there. I know change is very difficult in Wisconsin. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It took us a long time to get Highway 53 north of Eau Claire to be a two-lane divided highway. So my opinion is this. We need, and it would be a tollway from like Duluth Superior along the South Shore of Lake Superior to Michigan. Highway 2 would be replaced by a two-lane divided highway tollway. And I think that could be part of a larger picture when you look at people who want to vacation up on the Great Lakes from Toronto to Winnipeg. You could do a southern route on the around the southern part of the Great Lakes, north of Chicago, instead of going over north of the north side of Lake Superior, Lake Huron. I, from Wisconsin's point of view, I would like the Highway 2 to be two-lane divided highway. I think the tollway would pay for it, but as part of a larger a picture of a highway from Toronto to Winnipeg.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Jeff's thinking big there. Rocky, I don't know if you have thoughts on his specific route, but people in Wisconsin have been floating the idea of toll roads and not rejecting it as some kind of Illinois concept like people used to. What do you think of the idea of toll roads or other user fee-based ways of funding highways?
Certainly the use of toll roads is on the ascendant, because what we're seeing is that obviously adding additional capacity comes at a significant price tag. States, including Wisconsin, have significant challenges in reconstructing and preserving the existing system. And so we've seen it mostly in urban areas where urban areas are adding additional lanes along existing interstates, sometimes allowing vehicles at a certain price to move into other traffic lanes to get there a little bit quicker, but to pay the premium. And so certainly allowing tolls as part of one of the options, really when you look at the tremendous transportation funding needs that are out there, ultimately the public is going to pay for it one way or another. Tolling is obviously a very pure way of saying if you want this mobility and this additional capacity, you're going to need to pay for it.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. We'll go to Ann next in Milwaukee. Ann, hello.
Hi there. I'd like to make an observation about the varying quality of roads in Wisconsin. I spend a lot of time in northern Wisconsin where the roads, for the most part, seem in pristine condition. No potholes, no cracks, you know, still dark asphalt as though they've been done fairly recently for the most part. And I see road work going on all the time up there. I live in Milwaukee, where the roads are a mess, tons of potholes, just in very sad shape. And I understand there are different levels of government involved. Mm-hmm. But I also know that Milwaukee taxpayers send significantly more tax revenue, or let's just say Milwaukee sends more taxes to the state than it gets back in benefits. And this is a perfect example of it. And I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on that.
And thanks for the call. Do you hear this concern about kind of haves and have nots when it comes to, you know, one part of a state getting more revenue to maintain those roads than another?
Well, I think looking at the urban rural split, I think Ann's observations are consistent with what we see across the country, where on average, urban pavement conditions, just looking at least the surface pavement conditions, which is what we all care about, it's the roads we're driving on, are generally significantly worse as they are on rural roads. Now, a big part of that reason is obviously urban roads are getting significantly more travel. You know, as we point out in some of our recent reports, if you look during the pandemic when we've seen vehicle travel drop significantly and start to catch up, we're actually seeing more freight transportation than pre-pandemic. That's probably not surprising given how critical freight movement has been part of the supply chain while so many of us are stuck at home or severely restricted. So you see a lot more traffic and a lot more trucks on a lot of these urban roads. But the reality is, even with the larger and the heavier traffic, if you invest adequately, there's no reason those roads can't be maintained in good condition, but you do have to have that sustainable funding source. And unfortunately, that has been lacking for many local roads and highways.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Vern is with us in Neenah. Vern, hello.
Hello, I'm here. I can hear you.
Yep. What did you want to say, Vern?
My comment is I'm very disappointed in that we didn't raise the gas tax when it was low. We wouldn't have hardly knew about it. It wouldn't have hardly bothered us. We wouldn't have even thought about it. And we need to raise the gas tax so that other people from other states, everybody helps pay for it. But I don't know why the Republicans are so against it. It really burns me up. I drive a Prius hybrid car for the last 13 years I've driven it. I get 50 miles to a gallon. I barely use this highway. It's just a little light car.
Vern, I'm going to jump in because just have a few moments left. The idea of raising the gas tax, Rocky.
Well certainly as states are looking at the ability to bring in more revenue in the short term, in particular, the gas tax is the most equitable way to do it. The more you use it, the more you're going to pay for it. Registration fees are on the table. Wisconsin has one of the lowest registration fees, certainly in the Midwest, if not the country. And so that's another way. And then looking into the, really not the long term, but probably over the next decade, I think you're going to see state and government starting to look more closely at how do you align the fees you're paying with the amount you're driving, and how do you do it fairly? How do you do it without impacting people's privacy? A number of states are looking very closely at that. So I think the public ultimately is going to vote with their feet. They want a transportation system that's reliable, it's safe, and it's efficient, and they realize their need to pay for it. So it'll be finding the best way to do that.
Vern, thanks for the call. And Rocky, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Rob. Anytime.
We've been talking to Rocky Moretti, Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Nonprofit, TRIP. He talked to us about ways to improve the nation's and the state's transportation infrastructure.